This is the Cleveland Browns 2026 season preview, and it starts with the widest split our 2025 data measured, a defense that ranked 5th in the league in expected points allowed, welded to an offense that ranked 31st. No team in football had a bigger gap between its two halves. That team went 5-12, and the offseason verdict was sweeping. Kevin Stefanski fired in January, Jim Schwartz gone after losing the head coaching race to Todd Monken, Baltimore's former play caller, now running Cleveland. And then, in June, the franchise traded Myles Garrett, the reigning unanimous Defensive Player of the Year, fresh off what the league recorded as a single-season sack record, to the Rams for Jared Verse and 3 future picks. The market's number is 6.5 wins, with the under drawing the juice. This episode is about a team that kept the wrong half's problems and sold the right half's crown jewel, and why the math still says it wins more games than people think. What was real? The defense, comprehensively, and its fingerprint, was the most aggressive in football. 5th in expected points allowed. 1st of 32 in pressure rate, at nearly 35% of charted dropbacks. 53 sacks, 3rd most in the league, 4th most man coverage, 2nd highest rate of cover one, a defense that lined up in your face and won. The honest asterisk on even that unit, just 18 takeaways, 22nd. All that havoc converting into remarkably few short fields. And the offense wasted every bit of it. 279 points, 31st in football. Dead last, 32nd. In pass efficiency per attempt, and not ordinary last. The 3rd worst pass offense season by any team in our 10-year data. 29th on 3rd down. 25 giveaways, 3rd most. Sacks taken at the 7th highest rate. The one unqualified bright spot was a rookie tight end. Harold Fannin Jr. led the team in catches and targets, 72 for 731 and 6 scores, with a charting profile that explains why coaches trust it. 3rd among all tight ends in yards after catch over expectation, and a top 5 share of his team's air yards. A rookie who creates his own production on an offense that couldn't create any. Quinshon Judkins gave them 827 hard yards at 3.6 before his ankle fractured in week 16, and our board says even that undersells him. He finished above expectation per carry, meaning the runs were better than the blocking they came from. What was luck? By the rules, a real portion of the misery. Cleveland went 3-6 in one-score games, under the 35% line where teams historically gained back about 2.5 wins, with 69% improving. The turnover margin was minus 8, 28th, a bottom 5 profile that historically recovered to roughly even and returned nearly 3 wins by itself. 2 bounce flags, both pointing up, on a point differential that says the record was honest for the roster it had. Stack them naively and 5-12 projects toward 8 wins before a single roster move. But here's where this episode has to be more honest than the rules. Those historical bounces happened to teams that mostly kept their rosters. Cleveland's bounce math is now entangled with a massive simultaneous subtraction. Because the unit those flags lean on is the unit that just lost everything. The identity, charting data via NFL Verse, is a portrait of who they were, and that phrasing is deliberate. The pressure-first, man-heavy, cover-one shell that defined 2025 was Jim Schwartz's, executed by Garrett drawing double teams. Schwartz resigned after being passed over. Garrett is a Ram. The new coordinator, Mike Rutenberg, is a first-time DC promoted from running Atlanta's pass game. Jared Verse is a genuine foundation piece back in the trade, but our stickiness research says defense is the least persistent unit in football even when the scheme and stars stay, and Cleveland kept neither. 5th in expected points allowed is a 2025 fact. Nothing about it transfers on its own. The offensive identity is the more interesting forward story. Under Stefanski, it was the 2nd heaviest personnel operation in the league, extra tight ends on nearly half the snaps, producing the league's worst passing game anyway. Monken calls his own plays now, with Ravens run game architect Travis Switzer as coordinator, and the entire offensive line got rebuilt around them. Joel Bitonio retired, Wyatt Teller left for Houston, Jack Conklin gone, replaced by Zion Johnson, Elton Jenkins, Titus Howard, and the 9th overall pick, Utah tackle Spencer Faino. 5 new starters up front is the reported plan. When the whole line and the whole scheme change at once, the 2025 offensive numbers stop being predictions and become the baseline the new regime is graded against. What changed beyond that is the draft capital finally cashing in, and the quarterback question refusing to resolve. Cleveland turned its two first-rounders into Fano at 9, after trading down from 6 with Kansas City, and receiver KC Conception at 24 with the pick from the Jaguars trade. Washington's Denzel Boston followed at 39. The Garrett return, verse, a 2027 first, a 2028 second, and a conditional 2029 third that reporting says escalates to a first if the Rams ever flip him to an AFC North team, a genuinely funny clause, restocks the shelf into 2029. And then there's the room nobody has sorted. Deshaun Watson, healthy after the twice-repaired Achilles that cost him all of 2025, restructured a sixth time in March. Shedeur Sanders, who started the final 7 games as a rookie fifth-rounder and went 3-4. Dylan Gabriel still on the roster, and sixth-round rookie Talen Green behind them. Spring ended with Watson and Sanders splitting first-team reps and Monken declining to name a starter. As of today, the most important job on the roster is officially undecided. So the 2026 question is really two questions wearing one jersey. Is the offense's floor fixable, and can anyone see the quarterback through it? Because Sanders' rookie charting is the worst our clean core data measures. Dead last of 32 in stable situation efficiency, 31st from a clean pocket, bottom 3 in completion percentage over expected. And it was recorded under the most pressure in football, 45.5% of his dropbacks, the highest rate among all qualifiers, behind a line that no longer exists, in an offense whose play caller was fired mid-plan. The one place he graded well is telling. On his 18 scrambles, he produced over half a point of expected value per play. Chaos survivor, structure casualty, or just not good enough? 253 dropbacks genuinely cannot say. Watson's case is the inverse. A proven in 2020 professional whose last 3 seasons total 19 starts. The differentiated read is this. Cleveland's bounce flags. It's easiest in the league schedule by the published measures, and a 5-man line rebuild mean the offensive floor almost has to rise. The data's third worst in a decade passing seasons don't repeat with this much structural change. But a rising floor with a falling defense is how a team improves 4 games on the field and 2 in the standings. Fantasy names to know, scored half PPR. Fannin at TE6, pick 72, is the conviction call of this entire batch. Team-leading volume as a rookie, elite after the catch creation, a top 5 air yards share at the position, and the departed David Njoku's targets now formally his, in a Monken offense that made a Baltimore tight end rich. Judkins at RB20, pick 47, is priced on projected workload. The above-expectation efficiency behind a terrible line is the buy case. The ankle and 5 new linemen are the risk. Conception at WR52 is a first-round rookie at a fourth-round price in a wide-open target tree. Dylan Sampson at RB53 caught 33 passes as a rookie and is the passing down hedge. Jerry Jeudy at WR66 comes with a receipt. 47th of 48 qualified receivers against man coverage last season. There are better lottery tickets. And Sanders at QB32 is free, which is exactly what an unresolved competition behind a brand new line should cost. The verdict. 6.5 with a juiced under is a bet that the NFL's widest gap team stays broken through a regime change. Our ledger won't co-sign the gloom that fully. 2 bounce flags worth 2+ wins historically, the league's softest schedule, an offensive floor with nowhere to go but up, and draft capital arriving in waves. The honest range is 6-8 wins, a real climb from 5-12 that still probably keeps them fourth in a division this loaded. The gap team closed its gap the painful way. The offense should be less bad, the defense will be less special, and the 2026 Browns will finally look like one team instead of two. Whether that team has a quarterback is the question 2026 exists to answer. Follow the Cleveland Browns feed for the weekly show. Every game, every number, all season. This was the Muffed 2026 Browns Preview. Every number verified.